What's up?
Hey, everybody. So welcome back to the EduBeat podcast. We are so excited that you're here. We are starting this new podcast. It's our second podcast of this EduBeat podcast. Second version. What is wrong with me? What are the words coming out of my mouth right now? I don't even know. This is our second one. And we're so happy to have you here. We're really excited to talk about some EduBeat news on the streets that we have ready for you, ready to go. But as usual, we are always going to start out with EDU adulting. And so Sarah, what is going on in your world?
Oh, recently, man. Well, I just got home from IdeaCon, where I got to spend time with one of my favorite people in the world. Am I pointing the right way? There we go. With the Mandy Fralick. So that was awesome. And it was so great to see you. It was so great to see all of our EduMatch fam who was in attendance. OVA fam was in the house. You know, big shout out to Stephanie, the executive director, as well as Heather, and everybody who was part of bringing that conference together. And I mean, it really like filled my cup in ways that I didn't even know that I was missing until I like got there. And then I was just like, what is happening? This feels like the old me again. So I absolutely loved it. So just huge shout out to you. Huge shout out to everybody involved. So what about you? What's up with you in terms of edu adulting?
Yeah, I mean, agreed. IdeaCon was amazing. And for those of you who are not familiar with that education conference, you can find it in Chicago about this time of year, right outside of Chicago. And it's hosted by the Illinois, some acronym.
Regional Educator Association, I think.
Regional, but it's IDEA.
No, I said digital.
Oh, digital.
Are we? No.
And it's hosted by IDEA, and it is, it's always a really great conference. And so that was a lot of fun. And EduMatch had a booth there, which was amazing as well. We were able to talk to some people about what EduMatch does and make some great connections and partnerships. And so it was a lot of fun. But it is crazy. You forget how much seeing some of those people fills your cup and kind of puts pep in your professional step again, for sure.
Yes, indeed. Just all the hugs and just being in like that space with all that energy. It was so amazing. And now I'm just like, yeah, I definitely want to come back to that and, you know, dip my toe back in the whole conference space, because it was a huge part of my identity pre-pandemic, you know? So, you know, it felt good to be back. Yeah,
absolutely. And the OVA team put on a fantastic kind of like a mini keynote event on Tuesday morning. And so there were four keynoters, and each one did, I think it was about 12 minutes of a keynote that was really amazing. All four did fantastic. And so that was really, really, that would have been worth going alone if there was no other things. It would have been that event. So congratulations to them as well. And yeah, as far as adulting, I mean, I think like everybody, I'm just, it's like farch. It's like February, March time where it's exhausted. Like everybody's exhausted and, you know, like.
Thank you for clarifying farch, because I had no idea what that was.
What? You've never heard of farch?
I have not.
Like it's that time between February and March where it feels like the word farch, like it covers it pretty well. So, yeah, I think just like everybody, like you're busy and tired and just waiting for spring to come around. And so, yeah, that's my adulting struggle right now. So,
hey, farch is like onomatopoeia.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get on to our EduBeat news. And so would you like to start or shall I?
Sure. I'll be happy to start. All right. So coming to the stage, I'm about to bring up asynchronously the good sis Jaritza. So she's about to talk about, I found this video of her on X, I guess I gotta say X now because it's no longer Twitter, but it's always going to be Twitter to me. But anyway, she was talking about this keynote that she's about to give, and I was pulled in because, I mean, she always has so many great ideas, and I learned so much from her, and I just thought that this topic was amazing, you know, just kind of reframing the way we talk about creativity. So let me pull this up. Okay, so she has her Think About It Tuesday. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and play it. Hopefully the sound works.
And so when the idea of keynoting this conference came up, my whole like keynote is on the idea of there's no right way to be creative. We're all creative in our own way, right? We think outside the box. No two people think alike. No two people have the same interests. But what brings us together is this idea of accepting that. And so,
yeah, so I thought that was dope when she was talking about how we all are creative in our own ways. So just wanted to share that. So what are your thoughts on that, Mandy?
Yeah, I love that. I wish I could remember which of John Spencer's books it is, but he had broken up the different type of creatives into like he named them and gave descriptions and I've used that for a while to help people see what kind of creatives they are, because it's not always the people that can draw and play music and all of that kind of thing. You know, there are many different types of creatives, and I've come to figure out over the course of my adulting and my professional adulting that my creativity actually is in taking something, an idea that somebody else has, like you, and like riffing off from it. I'm not great at the original ideas, but I'm better at riffing off from other people's ideas and trying to improve those. And so like that's kind of where my creativity lies. And so yes, I love everything that she says. I'm a huge fan of hers, but I totally completely agree. How about you?
Yeah, so I gotta go back on one thing you said. You said that you don't that your creativity lies in improving other people's ideas, which I do agree. But I also want to say that you come up with some amazing ideas of your own that are just like mind blowing. Like I remember I introduced you to somebody as like one of the smartest people that I've ever met, and I 100% stand behind that because you totally are and definitely creative. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, I mean, you know, when I saw this, I was just like, yeah, this is great, because a lot of times, you know, people may either refer to themselves as creatives or say I'm not creative or something to that effect. But each of us is creative. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't matter what we're doing. Like if somebody is, you know, cooking a new recipe or you know, like something like that, or creatively finding a way to troubleshoot a problem. It's all creativity. And it takes all different types of people in the world for it to go around. So, you know, everybody, I agree 100% with what she's saying, that everyone has their own mode of creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for that compliment. I do appreciate it. And it's like also what you said is like the struggle or the challenge maybe is to actually accept that that's true, that, you know, people have creativity in different ways. So I love what she said.
Totally. All right. Well, I'm going to pass the mic over to you for your find.
All right. Well, my find isn't really news, but it was one of those videos that I watched and I'm like, oh my gosh, this so brings me back to the classroom. Like it's really just a perfect example of something that can happen. So I'm going to play this here.
One fact is that blue whales are the biggest animals on the planet we live on, which is Earth. Oh no, it's a fun fact about yourself so we can get to know you a little better. Oh, okay. I live on Earth. Home to the largest animal on Earth, the blue whale. Pretty simple instructions here. All we're doing is...
I'll go next.
Thank you, Jason, for getting us back on track. My fun fact is I have a really big heart, just like blue whales. It seems like Carl has set the wrong precedent here, so you don't need to structure your fun fact in a way that includes something about blue whales. My fun fact is I won the Arkansas Golf State Championship when I was 8.
Oh, Arkansas. Oh, that's pretty cool. Blue whales.
Oh, you were so close. What do you all not understand about this simple activity? All right.
So it goes, the video goes on and on. It just makes me laugh because it always seemed like if the first student did not get it, it continued on in class for all eternity. So, you taught all grade levels. So what do you think?
Oh my goodness. So this reminds me of one of my first grade students when I was doing a DRA test with her, and we were reading a book called I Lost My Hat or something like that. I can't remember. It was like one of the books in the DRA kit. And so we were reading this book about a hat, and all of a sudden she stops and she's just like, "My grandma has two dogs." And I'm just like, okay, very good. Let's get back to the book. And she just continues talking about the dogs. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I know that she's not quite focused on the where is my hat right now. So we just gotta take a beat. You know, I'm listening about the dogs and, you know, and tell her how nice that is. Then when she's done, then we'll continue. And so we did. So yeah, but kids say the wildest things for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, they do. And yeah, when the littles get off, you know, get off on a task, something like that, and you're trying to rein them back in. And yeah, I used to love that. But like the timer on the fluency, or like the fluency timer is keeps going as they're talking about the dog. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So funny.
Good times. Really good times.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the stuff that, you know, in the moment you're like, oh my gosh, you guys just focus, but then you have to laugh about it afterward, you know.
Wildest thing that a student has ever told you?
Oh my gosh. I think more it was something that happened. I had this one student who I adored, but he often found himself in situations where he was getting in trouble, and he was a real short guy. Yeah. And the one time he didn't come back in for recess, and I'm like, where did he, you know, where is he? And he might be in the office, you know. So I walked down, and sure enough, he's in the office. And I said, well, you know, what happened? What's he in for? And the person who had been outside told me that he took two of the biggest kids in the class and took their jackets and wrapped them around a pole and tied them to the pole. And this kid was like half their size, and he took on both of them. And I was, you know, he's standing there, so of course I'm not like laughing in front of him, but after he went back to class, I was crying because I was laughing so hard, because I'm like, how did that even happen? Like, there's just no, like, he had to hulk up in the moment and just like let that take over, because there was no other way without the Hulk stepping in that would have happened. So I think that's probably one of the funniest things that's happened.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
How about you?
Man, I have stories on days on days on days. A lot of them I can't tell on the air from middle school, just with some not quite PG comments in class. But I do remember at the same school, it was a K-8 school, and I had a kindergartner. She was a very she was a very creative little person, right? And one day it was raining outside, like really hard, and she comes up to me and she says, "It's raining cats and dogs, but I really don't like cats." And I said, "Why? Why don't you like cats?" And she's just like, she looks at me just like, just a straight face. She's just like, "Cats eat people." And I'm just like, okay, thank you for sharing that. I was not aware, but thank you.
Cats do.
Some do, like lions and tigers and stuff. I wouldn't be out there in the jungle with them. But that might have been what you was talking about. But I don't know, man.
Maybe. But you're thinking household cats.
I'm thinking house cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with me. Oh man, but yeah, funny.
That's funny. Kids are awesome.
Yeah.
So next we're going to move on to our EduBeat Redacted, which is one of our, my favorite parts of the show, because we have taken a headline that we found and we've redacted part of it, and we have to guess what the redacted words say. Now, we actually just used this as an icebreaker in a session, and I thought it went really well considering we hadn't tried it before. People seem to enjoy this and trying to guess exactly what the headline said. So definitely an idea for an icebreaker that's a little bit different. So we'll take the first one here, and this one is mine. And I actually put the first letter in to help you out. And so it says partial blank fix. Let students from blank families apply for blank blank.
Okay. And I'm going to ask the people who are watching live, if you want to play along, then feel free to drop a comment as well if you think that you know it. I guess my first clarifying question is that, is that first blank, is that an F or a P in front of it?
Good question. That is an F.
Okay. All right. I can tell the last two words are probably financial aid. Partial financial fix. Let students from partial. Wait,
isn't
it can't
funny
be that
how hard this actually is.
Yeah, I know it's got to be financial aid, but partial. I don't know.
All right, I'll give it to you. It's partial FAFSA fix. Let students from immigrant families apply for financial aid.
Stumped Andrew too.
Yeah, so thanks Andrew for trying to help. But yeah, so partial FAFSA fix let students from immigrant families apply for financial aid. Now, I kind of have a connection to this a little bit in the way that my youngest daughter is applying for like financial aid and scholarships and things right now. I have three in college and one that's going in. And basically what this article was saying was that they released a new FAFSA form, and it's not allowing students from immigrant families to apply because it's because of some of the requirements that are on the form. And so, you know, why I pulled this one out is because I think it's really frustrating that a service that our government is supposed to have, that our that kids are supposed to be eligible for, there, that's really a right of being a U.S. citizen, is being denied them because of something on their part. And then also just that for a lot of immigrant families, especially if the families don't speak a lot of English or something like that, it's already really, really difficult for them to fill out the FAFSA. And then to add on to that a glitch that's unique to them really feels like it's unnecessarily difficult. I also had realized while my daughter was applying for school, she had applied to quite a few and gotten in one particular school, Baylor University, asks you to fill out the FAFSA, but then it has an additional form that needs to be filled out for financial aid. This form is incredibly extensive, and it is really in depth. And so it's asking questions like, how much is your parents' current house worth? How much do they owe on the mortgage yet? Questions that I feel are intrusive and not appropriate for any college to be asking. And this, like I said, this additional application is extensive. So when you put it into the context of of this article, you know, Baylor in particular, which is the only college that we've run into that's asking for this additional information, they have not only are immigrant families going to have difficulty, you know, filling out the FAFSA as they have in the past. So, like, that's been one of the challenges of schools of getting kids to apply for college and apply for the FAFSA or financial aid because it's difficult. But then also schools like Baylor who are going to this additional form are really making getting into that school and getting financial aid exclusive. Like it is you know English very well, you know technology very well, you can, you know, get help with these things. And so I was pretty frustrated when I was helping my daughter and we actually got about halfway through the Baylor form and I said, guess where you're not going? You are not going to Baylor because if this is what it's like to just apply for financial aid, this is not okay. And so she's actually not going to Baylor because of that additional financial form. I just refused to fill out some of the questions that were on there. And so when I think about, you know, families who would really have difficulty with that, I think it's very exclusive. So that's what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Thank you so much for finding this article and sharing about this. I mean, that is definitely going to, you know, it has its roots in inequity, you know, everything that you're describing. So, you know, that I can only imagine about how difficult you know, it is to you know, to first fill out that the paperwork, as you said, with the potential language barrier. And then on top of that, you have these intrusive questions that are just really off-putting and just inequitable. So I really appreciate you bringing light to this. So, yeah. So thank you for this article. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, like I said, I had the connection with my, you know, daughter applying right now and none of my other kids ever went anywhere that had the additional financial aid application. So I don't know how prevalent it is, but I was pretty frustrated filling it out. And I definitely think, you know, that there needs to be some advocacy for people in this space that, like, you know, colleges like Baylor need to take responsibility for what they're putting people through in order to get financial help for their colleges. And so, that was kind of one of the reasons I brought this one forward.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. So this one is mine. Initially it was super easy. So wait a minute. I thought I undid the first letter. Would you mind refreshing real quick?
Oh no.
Yeah. I thought I undid
the first letter. I have to remove it.
Okay.
Okay. Hang in. See. That did not help. I think I'd have to add it again. So that's okay. Just tell me what the first letters are.
Okay. So this one, you know, when I saw the headline, I was just like, I have to bring this one on for Mandy. This is something that Mandy's into. This is something that I'm into. Okay. So how S may benefit TM.
How students.
And I'll tell you some of those blanks are two words.
Oh, okay. So
how S blank may benefit, how S blank blank may benefit blank M blank.
Okay. How, I'm going to say may benefit task time. Task or time? Nope.
Not quite.
No.
I'll give you one more hint. Okay.
Okay.
So how SM may benefit TMH. There we go. That's the first letter of everything.
Student management may benefit do hype.
Do y'all have any guesses before I spoil it? Let's see. Cue the Jeopardy music. Okay. So the correct answer is how social media may benefit teens' mental health.
Jeez.
Yeah. So that was an opinion piece in Ed Week. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront because I know that we've had conversations about it. I know I've had lots of conversations about it. You know, there is always like the grim side of social media. You know, people, mm-hmm. a lot of times people talk about the grim side of social media, how teens are really seeing, you know, how there's the algorithms in place, how there's cyberbullying, how there's the editing of the filters and the like counts and things of that nature. And these are all very valid points, and I am not negating any of those things. But this article also talked about ways that, you know, teens could build community using social media. And one thing that whenever I give presentations to teachers, students, then one thing that I really like to shine a light on are ways that teens and young folks are using it for good. You know, there's several different examples I pull up. One of them being Mary Alice's son, Curran, how he, you know, built his movement, DigSit Kids, that kind of mirrored his mom's DigSit Institute, and how he used that to connect with students all over the world and build like this whole movement. And, you know, other people, Rafrance Davis's nephew, Braden, how he uses it to amplify his artwork, you know, Olivia Van Letch, how she uses it, you know, to just kind of help inform other students and educators and things of that nature. And the one that really kind of drives it home for me was the March for Social Justice and the students from Parkland who really turned such an unfortunate tragedy into something very positive. So, you know, I'm not trying to put in a plug at all for my book, but wrote about this in the ISTE digital equity, the green book. You know, there was like a whole chapter about how students can use it for good purposes, and how they can use it to build and to connect and to create movements and to advocate for themselves and to connect with other people, you know, in the field, to help them get that social capital when they're ready to graduate and start those connections in the group. And hello to the Facebook user. Hey. Yeah. So definitely wanted to just share that part. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, like this is a lot of, I've heard a lot of this from Jen Cassatot as well, since she's one of my best friends too. And so we have this conversation a lot, and it would be difficult to ignore some of the things that are coming to light about mental health and stuff about being online, screen time, all of those kinds of things. But I do think that, like, we started out talking about IdeaCon and, you know, how, like, those relationships that we created at IdeaCon, even as adults, those were created online. You know, we met online, we created community online, and you could know somebody for years before you actually met them. And so I think that in that way, something like going to conferences or having a meetup with people that you've met online is really a testament to how social media can make you feel like you belong and make you feel like you have a community that really understands you and respects your ideas and things like that. I also think we, you know, any of us who have been on social media regularly also know and understand the pitfalls of social media and comparing yourself to other people and, you know, why did they get that opportunity and I didn't get that opportunity, or even, you know, feeling like you don't belong in a particular group that you wanted so badly to belong in, you know? And so when I think about those things, and then I think about taking that those experiences and putting them into, you know, a teenage maturity, understanding, and things, I still do think that the feeling of belonging, the feeling of community is still valid for them. And especially if you are a student who feels very alone in your high school, you know, you're the, you know, we were just talking at IdeaCon, they had a Dungeons and Dragons, you know, thing that they did one night where people went and they played Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, if you are the only Dungeons and Dragons player in your school, you know, going online, going through social media was a way to find more Dungeons and Dragons players, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, so, I mean, I do love this. I think like with anything, it's.
Yes. That's the key. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that. You know, like there with everything, there's pros and there's cons. So you know, I definitely agree with you 100%. I love the fact that we're having this conversation again. Shout out to Jen. Shout out to everybody who's doing this work in terms of helping our students navigate this space. Because I mean, it can be a tricky space, you know. But some kids are absolutely just bringing their A game and getting the most out of it that mm-hmm. they possibly can. So huge, you know, so huge salute. Yeah, but that's all I have. So, yeah. And I wanted to give a shout out to Amy for tuning in and saying hi as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so thanks everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate everything that you bring to the podcast, and we hope that you, if you did miss our podcast on January 30th, you can go back and you can find that one and you know, listen to that on Spotify, and pretty soon you'll find the link to our to the EduBeat podcast on our website as well. And so that's really a wrap on today's EduBeat. Again, thank you so much for tuning in and sinking your heart to the pulse of educational innovation with us. Remember, every beat we shared today is a step towards enriching our learning communities. I'm Mandy Freilich with my talented and lovely and beautiful and so smart and just my favorite person in the world, co-host Sarah Thomas, reminding you to keep listening, keep learning, and keep beating to the rhythm of change. So until next time, please keep the educational conversation alive. If you see an article, video, or social media post, or any other kind of media that you'd like us to talk about, please email them to podcast@edumatchers.org. You can also use the hashtag EduBeatPodcast on any of the socials. And attach it to there, and we would be happy to receive those and talk about those and get your opinion on them as well. So I think that's all we have, Sarah, unless you have anything else.
Nope, that's all. Oh, and just I do want to give a shout out to Amy, who put a great comment about how when she finally jumped into social media, she found individuals who supported and pushed her thinking. Shout out to Kevin Honeycutt for the snow globe analogy. And yeah, we're lucky to have met you as well. So thank you so much for your kind words. And thank you to everybody for tuning in. And we will catch you next time. All right, bye, y'all.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.